Welcome to Infotainment. Yes, this is a podcast that your grandmother warned you about. And I'd like to say hello to you, and especially you. This is the Last Stop Podcast Shop. Well, let's hit the ground running. And I would like to say, for those in the know on the music in the background, this is one show that I think would deserve a reboot. Maybe Vince Vaughn could pull it off. Or somebody with kind of a James Garner look. That is one show. What are your shows that could deserve a reboot? I got two others. There was one quite a few years back starring Edward Woodward called The Equalizer. He was an older gentleman who you went to when the cops couldn't help you at all, and he would take care of your problem. He was ex-CIA or NSA or some organization and did military stuff back when. So that would be one show. Another one would be FX. They did reboot it once with Cameron Dotto and Christina Cox. I thought it was a good show that probably deserved more seasons. For those of you that remember the FX movies with Brian Brown and Brian Dennehy, which were good, I liked the show a little bit more because they used the computers a little bit more. But they all were good. And I think those shows could deserve a reboot. So many reboots fail. I don't know if Hawaii Five-0 is still on the air with CBS or and what. I do have CBS All Access now, trying to binge Star Trek Discovery. And there is one that I did finally get kind of into. The one where Harry Mudd was creating a time loop and he was trying to sell their Spore drive. Oh, by the way, I should call Black Alert. This podcast will contain or might contain, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does, contain some adult language and content. So you've been warned. Proceed with caution. And let's get started. I know that Christmas is over, but I have William Shatner here giving us some things to think about for the new year.
Hi, everybody. It's Christmas time, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But more importantly, I wish a true fulfillment for you for the year to come. Our world is filled with danger and apprehension, but it's also filled with joy and victory. We can do so much this coming year about our world and about ourselves. Let's all try to work together and do it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Oh my.
It is Monday, the 22nd of January, and there are a lot of Vikings fans, Minnesota Vikings fans, that were crying in their beers last night. I'm glad I'm a fair weather fan anymore, and I watched like six plays of the Vikings all year, and that was their last game against the Packers. And you know, I can tell you why, the reasons that I became a fair weather fan. It started when I started to learn the business aspect of it during the Denny Green era of coaching. His main goal was to do enough to keep his job. He practically admitted that. If he won the Super Bowl, been an added bonus, but doing good in the division, winning the division, or was his main thing. It wasn't winning the Super Bowl, but winning the Super Bowl is the ultimate goal, and that's the only team they remember. And now, the way the Vikings fucking sucked in this game yesterday, and here now Tom Brady's going to walk away with another Super Bowl ring, and he should, while he's, if he's had a lot of knee injuries, I haven't really followed his career all that much except watching a few Super Bowls, him winning it. And now go out on top, just like Seinfeld did. You know, you're a Hall of Famer. What else do you need to prove? You know, I was a fan as a kid, and I agonized during the Bud Grant era over 3 Super Bowl losses. I was too young for the first against the Kansas City Chiefs. With my dad, my parents had me rather late in their lives, and unfortunately, my dad, when I would have appreciated going to a game, he was sick a lot of the time, but he didn't let on. So, yeah, finding that out from Denny Green. And then the last game I was kind of really invested in was when Brett Favre could have got us there, but he decided to throw an interception. New Orleans Saints beat us in that game. But I thought maybe he was the last franchise-type player that could have got us there. And at least he's got a Super Bowl ring to prove it. You know what I would have done? I hear the Philadelphia fans were really Philadelphia nice to all the Vikings fans that were actually there. You know, I would have sat very near an exit to that stadium if I was there, and I would have had everything Eagles on. I'd have been all covered up, but I would have had Viking stuff on underneath. And once I knew that the Vikings, if the score had been reversed and the Vikings had the game in hand, I would have taken off my Philadelphia Eagles stuff and sitting like, I don't know, 5 rows away from the exit. I would have taken it off, stomped it on the steps, and then held up my arms and with a V for victory sign and put on my Vikings hat and taken my Eagles hat off and stomped it. That way I could have avoided all the profanity and get out of our state and having full beers thrown at me. Some of those people probably should have been hauled off for a night in the cell somewhere for doing that. But to avoid all that, that would have been great. And then I would have ran out of there and gotten the hell out of Dodge. Last night made me really remember. You know, I was a fan during the Bud Grant era. You know, I liked his style of coaching. And I actually met the man by chance, actually. I worked at a banner supply company where part of our business was selling American flags, and he would come every year and buy a super huge flag that he displayed at his house. And for a few minutes, I was out there, and I paid him a compliment, and he just gave me a terse little response. And like I said, so there are some fans that wish you were still at the helm, and I don't know if I'd want it. Then he started talking to an attractive woman that was there who was talking about her brother that was involved in sports. And so he kind of dissed me off. And so I would have liked him better had I not have met him. But Jerry Burns, I wish we could have won one for him, because I listened to his rant, you know, back when we had the offensive coordinator, Bob Schnelker, there for a time. Nobody liked him because we thought he ran too much of a conservative offense. Right now, you know, the names would have changed. And the coach yesterday gave such a politically correct response from him, I read. It was just some canned thing. Oh, I'm really proud of what our players did. And blah, blah, blah. And God bless the coach. I mean, he's doing it with some major eye problems that need to be corrected, I guess. But it was the most politically correct piece of crap. You know, I wish he would have just said the truth. We played well all year, but today we fucking suck. Ass. So right now, I'm going to play the Jerry Burns rant about Bob Schnelker's performance as offensive coordinator. But a lot of this I would have liked to have heard If he had been coach yesterday in his prime, I bet it would have been fairly similar in some ways. The names would have changed and things would have been said a little differently, but some of the stuff I would have kept in. So now I'm going to play that.
And at Merriweather, just made a great play. Took the, baked the guy on the outside, stepped inside him, and made the block. It was a hell of a game. For $23, if you can get more excitement than that, hell, you're in the wrong operation. It was a hell of a game. And let me say something. As long as I'm in this fucking job, Snelker will be the offensive coach. I mean, no question fucking about that. No fucking question about that. I don't like to name names after a fucking game. But we can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the fucking guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for fuck. We get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson. But it was a dumb fucking play when his foot was, shoe was coming off, up the line screen. We were hard to take timeout. We had a fucking trap play called and his fucking shoe comes off. That ain't Bob Snelker's fault. We have another fucking trap play, and if Finney picks up his fucking feet, he walks in. We got the fucking pass to AC out there in the flat. And the ball's thrown in low. That isn't Snelker's fault. We got right down there, we got the second down, and I don't know what the hell, two yards ago, I don't know what, 15, 40, whatever the hell it was, and Irwin jumps offside. Now, these are the things that have been hurting us all along, the little things. We're working at them to stop them. We moved the ball good today. We went down there and we didn't get the ball in the end zone.
Did you win this game?
I think we did, yeah. Anything else?
Well, just before you do go, Carlos, you had a kicking problem in the past.
No, we'll steer one up. We'll steer one up here before it's done. You know, he did a sensational fucking job. Kicked seven goddamn field goals. You can win a game many ways, many ways. DJ, I was happy when they kicked the goddamn ball to him. Yeah, last week, and on the Giants, Christ, he ran 65 yards. This time he fumbles the ball. What the hell can you do? Fuck, you can't, all you do is you prepare as thoroughly as you can. The guys play their asses off. Any other questions? Sure to help us. Sure, I talked to John afterwards. I thought it was a tough one for him to lose. It's a big win. Big win. It was a hell of a great catch by Hassan. We did. The guys didn't give up. A great catch by Hassan. A great field goal by Carlos.
Is that exactly the same play as the previous one?
Exactly the same one. He almost had the ball the previous one. And he went up and by a great effort he got the ball.
Was AC hurt?
He was hurt. AC had a groin pull on that one pass and that quick over there that he caught and he sort of went down and he had the splits.
What's that play?
It's called squadron left, squadron right, whichever way the squadron lines up, squadron fly. Squadron, that was a squadron left, squadron fly. They were going down there. What you're looking for is exactly what happened to that, the tip ball, maybe a penalty, some damn thing. Some damn thing. That same pass, this game reminds me of a Cleveland Brown game when we went down to the old Met Center. When we throw the ball to Century, and he lateraled the ball to Teddy Brown. Teddy Brown ran out of bounds. Made a great play. The next one we hit Ahmad on the squadron right, put it in and won the division.
Can you see the squad? Is it usually four wide receivers?
Three wide receivers. Tight end stays in, fullback stays in, three wide receivers. Their job just run down there and hopefully they get a tip ball, pass interference, a great play, something.
Gary, your Snelker endorsement stems from all the stuff all during the week.
The guy feel like shit afterwards. What?
Or something that happened today?
He felt like shit afterwards. Everybody booing the shit out of him, but he worked his ass off. And no smarter coordinator in football. Fuck, they put his picture up there and the fuckers boo him. Fuckers.
Oh my.
They should put a wax figure in the Hall of Fame in Canton of Jerry Burns and a button there to press just to hear that rant. And that was the greatest. That was, oh man, KQ, one of the biggest shows on the FM dial, morning shows in the Minneapolis area, is the KQ morning show. And I think it's one of the most, or is the most listened to around the country. They made a lot of fun of that. And it was great. I'm going to backtrack a little bit and talk about what William Shatner said about people doing things to make 2018 a better place and a better world to live in. Well, I got two suggestions for that to happen. One would be for people not to chain up their children and keep them as prisoners for years in their home. That story of 13 kids is just really heartbreaking. And I would also have no more mass shootings of people, ever. People, I don't know what it is in somebody's makeup that they burn out and try their best to outdo the other by killing more people. And Stephen Paddock, who would have figured that like a 60-some-year-old man would do something like that. But they say he had some gambling debts, and then he was accused, but he was labeled. They thought he was bipolar, but he wouldn't take his meds. I'm bipolar, but I have the personality where that just would be abhorrent for me to do something like that. I could tell you the worst thing that happened when you're in the bipolar manic stage. You feel like you're on top of the world. But in the end, when you crash, you're doing things, saying things, seeing and hearing things that people pick up on, and then you wind up in treatment facilities where they, in the past, try different drugs. It's like throwing toilet paper to the ceiling to see which drugs stick. But now they have a gene test, which I was taken, and they can narrow it down to which drugs would or should be more helpful to that specific person, which would greatly reduce time in treatment facilities, which is a godsend for people. And if you think you need that, you got depression, anxiety, doing abnormal things that you wouldn't do, maybe you don't realize it, but it's tough to know that you got that unless you're like diagnosed. And I wasn't diagnosed very early in life. Back in the 70s, it wasn't even considered. I don't know. The treatment probably was a lot more archaic back then. It's changed so much from then to now. And it makes me wonder how my life could have been different had I been diagnosed a lot earlier in life. Like, would I be married? Would I have had a better career life? One never knows. It's something that weighs upon you. But you have to keep moving forward, and that's the trouble. Thinking about the past negative things, it's tough to get over. So, well, that's what I want to say about that subject. But if you feel like, you know, you have some of those symptoms and can still function, get yourself some help. See if they do that gene site testing to figure out which medications would be the most effective for your specific needs. So, that's my advice. Wouldn't you know it? Just as soon as I'm about to hit the record button, a train goes by and starts blaring its horn. Happens every time. There's always some distractive noise going on when I'm about to start recording. Speaking about my last issue and people's health things going on, sometimes being kind of an introverted person myself in some ways, and that would be narcissist, when you kind of think about yourself too much, or maybe that's even worse than what I'm thinking, but sometimes you gotta think outside the box and realize there are people that are going through and have gone through a lot worse medical conditions than you have. Like a family member who over Thanksgiving had some kidney stone issues. Glad that that's, at least the pain of that is over. I can't imagine. I've never had them, but I have had the catheter experience, which is not pleasant on the input and output. When I had viral pneumonia a few years back. But all I can say is, I don't know, probably won't ever, I don't think a lot of family members listen to this. I hope things straighten out for you, Kate. That's what I want to say about that. But on to different things. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I was talking about some television things earlier, I think. I don't even remember. I've done so many of these things. I haven't kept track of counting, but I know I've done over 47. I think it's between, the number's between 50 and 70 of these shows, varying in length. Maybe I shouldn't even count my first one. It was so terrible. But I'm always looking for the next binge-worthy show. I have tried to like the new Star Trek Discovery, and I've tried to binge it. But I know they got the budget for the effects, boy. I read where it costs $8 million an episode. Quite a bit more from the budgets of the other Star Trek series that have been around. But the one binge-worthy show that if you like detective dramas, those who like, I don't know, I guess it doesn't really, NCIS, Special Victims Unit, and NCIS, and whatever, the one with Scott Bakula in it from New Orleans. I don't regularly watch those shows, but on Amazon Prime, there's a Prime original show. It's called Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, and I've binged 3 seasons of it, and it's about Detective Harry Bosch, I believe he's from the Hollywood division, and he struggles to find inner peace because he has been investigating his mother's death that happened when he was 12 years old. She was a prostitute, but tried to take care of him the best she could, and he goes through a lot of things to. He solved over like 33 crimes there in California over his career, and it's a binge-worthy show. There are some things that I would they can't change those now, but there's some time lapses in the thing. You wonder, he gets involved with a rookie cop, but they kind of split up, and because he wouldn't lie for her about a mistake she made, and 2 seconds later he's with somebody else, and that's not really explained. And then there's the one where his boss's boss, his wife, wants to file for divorce, and 2 seconds later the guy is asking another lady out, and he says, yeah, I guess you're supposed to assume that there's some time lapses that weren't covered. And the woman he was going after was Linda Park from Star Trek Enterprise. And there's also another Star Trek alum on this show for a few episodes. It's quite a departure from anything I've seen her in. I've seen her in some Boston Public and all of Star Trek Voyager, of course. I did not watch the one with her and Dana Delaney. Jerry Ryan's in it for a few episodes, and it is quite a departure. She actually murders a priest. Looking for some money that has been absconded from her, she thinks, and it's a rather different role. So you might check that out for those of you who have come to grips with this is kind of a modern-day detective thing. But maybe some of the Longmire fans who have binged through that series enough. If this town could only get a movie theater, I could do some movie review sections. But the Worthington powers that be can't seem to get it done when every other little town here has a movie theater. Now, I know there were some problems with the 2 people that were trying to get the movie theater deal done. They want an exclusive deal with Worthington, and everyone express concerns over that. I don't know if there was a time limit on that or... Like, we're going to have another movie theater in town. Town wouldn't support it. It wouldn't support the mall we had. And that got mowed over, and now it's a huge car lot where several other newer businesses I wish could have gone there. You know, this car lot had their spot. We shall see if we ever get a movie theater done again. And maybe, I guess, it was a upper official in the Worthington city government that was in touch with some people in Sioux Falls about it, and these people got upset about it, and now that's not going to happen, probably, unless we can get somebody from Sioux Falls to do it, put up a nice... Well, if they, I know that theater going is on the decline, and if someone puts together a streaming deal that runs first-run movies, it'd probably put them out of business, most of them. But then there's times you want the movie theater experience. You know, flat screen does a great job in providing a lot of that, and you don't have other people to deal with, the ones sitting there talking on their cell phones, kicking your seat, or all the other stuff associated with. I remember one time I was in a newer Brooklyn Center movie theater just recently. Well, at the time it had recently opened. Nice theater, stadium seating. And there was a brawl going on with a Caucasian woman and a black woman there. Were hurling words, not a physical brawl, but hurling words, and kind of ruined the last half hour of the movie for me. Then another time, a couple guys came in and they brought in tinfoil chicken dinners. You could smell that all over the place. And it wasn't one of those places that serve food while you watch your movie. I went to one of those up in the cities, and that was nice. You know, you could have pizza or hamburger or whatever while you're watching the movie, which was kind of cool. Don't have those all over the place. But. And next time I find something other, Bosch is the latest one that I ran through 3 seasons. I kind of deal with the politics of being a detective and a regular cop, and all the politics in every move you make, whether it was a, you know, if you have to shoot to kill, you know, all that you have to deal with. And it's just, well, there's a lot of politics in every job you have. I know I've went through it, but I haven't had to for a long time. And not necessarily my last job, but other jobs. But that's the way life goes, you know. Just like Tom Hanks said, life is like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get. And that's certainly true in my case. I never really wanted my career life to go the way it did. And you never, as a dumb kid, think that's ever going to happen. But, you know, and the older you get, the supposedly you get wiser. But some people just don't. You know what? sometimes I can't escape the ugliness of the news. I don't know always the best way to proceed in a podcast. I'm not a professional at it. Sometimes there's things that happen in the news that just affect me greatly for some reason. And this is one of them. I had a couple podcasts where I titled them, What is Wrong with People? Parts 1 and 2. And maybe I should have renamed them, What is Wrong with Men? It just seems that men in power, men in positions of power, even men not in positions of power, just do not know when to keep their fingers and their penises and their pants and their fingers away from women's or girls' private parts or boys. Ugh. This Larry Nassar case, I wrote a Facebook post that I'm going to read if I can find it here. And today I wrote, I watched the judge sentence that scumbag of a so-called doctor of the USA gymnastics team. It is that kind of stuff that makes me feel sick for the male gender. In prison, the other inmates view that as the lowest of the low, pedophiles, children abusers, mentally, sexually, or otherwise. He may or will wind up dead. It makes me think, should he live out his life thinking about his evil deeds or wind up like Jeff Dahmer? I believe in a higher power, which I do, and I'm sure he will profess asking God for forgiveness. And I will add his name to the list of people that should not be forgiven. A sermon I once heard, my pastor at the time said there are different levels of hell. I hope he is put in the worst. My pastor didn't say that he definitely knew there were different levels of hell, but he found enough indications to say that. If there is, I hope he is put in the worst. Over 150 victims, 160 victims, and one guy, one father committed suicide because when he found out his daughter was telling the truth about this guy, this Larry Nassar. The judge in this case, she could have come at this guy harder, but her best comment was, I've signed your death warrant. And he was already serving a 60-year sentence for child pornography. And this was I've only come across this story the last couple days because I do not want to be depressed by watching what's happening in the news as much as I used to be. As much as my parents were, they were always griping about what was happening in the news. I try to keep this show kind of on the light side of things, but sometimes the news, ugly news takes precedence. But in Lansing, Michigan, as his victims wept in a Michigan courtroom on Wednesday, disgraced longtime USA gymnastics team Dr. Larry Nassar was sentenced to up to 175 years in prison for abusing young female gymnasts who were entrusted to his care. I've signed your death warrant, Ingham County Circuit Court Judge Rosemarie Aquilina told Nassar following days of harrowing accounts from about 160 of his victims. And there were how many more that didn't come out? It's just unbelievable. Spectators and victims cried, applauded, and embraced as Nassar, 54, wearing a dark blue jailhouse jumpsuit, was led out of the courtroom. Rachel Denhollander, the first woman to publicly accuse him in 2016, shared a hug with Angelina Povilaitis, the lead prosecutor. I probably butchered her name there. But Nassar, who served as the program's physician through four Olympic Games, had apologized to his victims during the hearing, telling them, "I will carry your words with me for the rest of my days." Yeah, you should have thought of that before you saw your first victim. You know, you spend all that time becoming a doctor. Is that why you became a doctor? So you could do that? To get in that position? But Aquilina dismissed his statements as insincere, and courtroom spectators gasped as the judge read aloud from a letter he wrote to her, claiming he was a good doctor who was manipulated into pleading guilty. Nasser, who is already serving a 60-year sentence in federal prison for child pornography convictions, also said his accusers fabricated claims to gain money and fame, and wrote, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Would you like to withdraw your plea?" Aquilina asked Nasser after tossing aside his letter with evident disgust. "No, Your Honor," Nasser said. "Because you are guilty, aren't you?" "Are you guilty, sir?" the judge demanded. After a long pause, Nasser said quietly, "I have said my plea exactly." Both the prosecution and Aquilina emphasized the broader significance of the sentencing, coming amid a national debate over sexual misconduct and abuse prompted by scandals involving powerful men from Hollywood to Washington. Paul Valetis said the conclusion of Nasser's case takes the victim's shame and puts it where it belongs, right on him. "At this particular moment in history, this sentence and hearing will be viewed as a turning point in how our community, our state, our nation, our culture looks at sexual abuse," she said. Aquilina rattled off a series of disturbing statistics about the prevalence of sexual abuse before saying, "It stops now." Well, it stops now for his case. The sentence followed an extraordinary week-long hearing that saw a parade of Nasser's victims tell their stories in raw and unflinching terms, describing how he used medical treatments as a cover to justify penetrating their bodies with his fingers. Although Nasser only admitted to 7 instances of abuse in the case, Aquilina allowed other victims to speak at his sentencing. Throughout much of the proceedings, Nasser sat with his head bowed, rarely making eye contact with his victims. His accusers ranged from former Olympic gold medalists like Ellie Reisman to women like Den Hollander, who was the last of the victims to speak on Wednesday, and whom Aquilina described as the bravest person I've ever had in my courtroom. The accusers had testified Nasser won their trust with kind words and by giving them snacks forbidden by their coaches. Testimony came from Michaela Maroney, a gold medalist at the 2012 London Olympics, who called Nasser a monster of a human being, and a former member of the U.S. national team who said his abuse led to depression and an eating disorder. Another gymnast said she was only 6 years old when Nasser began molesting. She blamed Nasser for her father's suicide once the man realized his daughter had not been lying about the abuse she endured. "I've been forever changed by all of this, and I will never feel small again," said Bailey Lorenzen, who was an anonymous accuser until she spoke in court this week. "I have a different confidence in myself as a woman." Institutions questioned. In addition to his work with Olympic teams, Nasser also was the team physician for the Michigan State University gymnastic and women's crew teams, as well as an associate professor at MSU's College of Osteopathic Medicine. The National Collegiate Athletic Association said on Tuesday it had opened an investigation into Michigan State's handling of the case. In her statement on Wednesday, Den Hollander criticized the school for failing to adequately investigate complaints against Nasser dating back years. In addition to raising Reisman Olympic gold medalists Simone Biles, Gabby Douglas, and Michaela Maroney have gone public in recent months saying they were assaulted by Nasser while undergoing treatment. Victims and others have criticized USA Gymnastics, the sport's governing body in the United States, for ignoring their complaints and having accused the Federation of suppressing their accounts in a bid to avoid bad publicity. On Monday, 3 top board members resigned in the wake of the scandal, following the exit last March of the Federation's president and chief executive. In a statement on Wednesday, Carrie Perry, who became USA Gymnastics president in December, applauded the sentence and vowed to create a culture that empowers and supports the program's athletes. Several companies have announced they would not continue to sponsor the federation, including AT&T Inc. on Tuesday. Nasser pleaded guilty in November to 7 counts of first-degree sex assault in Ingham County, as well as 3 additional charges in Eaton County, where he will be sentenced next week. What do you say to all this? It's just like these guys just never learn, some of them. And I've heard tell that there is no rehabilitation for these guys. Well, like this guy should be even given the chance to be rehabilitated. And you think, well, castration, chemical castration. I've heard that's not a total cure-all for sexual impulses in guys. I just, you know, the ones that don't. That get categorized, well, you're a guy, you always think about it. And I do have a couple of suggestions for some of this. These, you know, women in any sport, they got a guy coach. You got to go to all the games. You got to watch the guys like a hawk. These guys slip through the cracks somehow. They need to have all women coaches or go to all women doctors, something. Especially ones that, like the gymnastics girls that go to doctors, the parents should be able to be there, maybe. Because when I went to junior high in Missouri, at that time, I doubt that it's still allowed, but they used for misbehaving. They would give guys 3, and only ones I saw were guys, would get 3 swats with a paddle. And the one guy who got paddled like 3 times. This is from a rather large junior high school teacher. She had a paddle with 3 holes drilled into it. And he came in with tears in his eyes after 3 swats. But they had to have a witness of another teacher there that nothing was going on. So maybe any male doctor needs to have some other people in there to watch him. Like the kid's parents and another physician or whatever. Well, by the looks of the clock on the wall, it is time to call Black Alert and spore this podcast to the interwebs. Would like to say thank you for everyone who's listened. You can tweet my Twitter at Randy Podcaster. I'm also available on iTunes. Please rate and comment. It would be greatly appreciated. And I'd like to say hello to all my UK fans. Put an end to this episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Even though we had to discuss some negative topics, I'd like to make a lighter episode next time. So I will say goodbye now and talk to you next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Friends, I am thrilled beyond words that we were successful in raising over $158,000 for our Broadway bomb musical titled Allegiance, which for the first time deals with the internment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War. In fact, I am so thrilled that, with the reluctant permission of my husband Brad, I am going to do what I call my happy dance. Are you ready for this?
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
Oh my.